This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Renting can feel like a full-time job. Forms, inspections, rising prices, and rules that don't always seem clear. Well, there's been some fresh updates to Victoria's rental laws since we last spoke about this last December, and they could affect how we apply for properties, how often rent can go up, and what support is available if things do go wrong. Well, Nicole Rich is the Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Welcome back, Nicole.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Now, we spoke last year about changes to renting laws. Can you remind us what shifted in November?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do a quick recap. There are some pretty significant changes, and we've had a lot of changes in the last few years, so it can be hard to keep up. But I would say some of the key things that have changed at the end of last year is that rental bidding is now banned. So agents and landlords cannot accept offers to pay higher rent than what was advertised. So that sort of loophole has been closed. The mandatory minimum standards for rental properties in Victoria, they've been in place for a while, but now it's a requirement that those be met when a property is actually advertised. So, you know, much earlier in the process, that sort of stops people having to deal with it down the track. Smoke alarms have to be correctly installed and tested every year. That only used to apply to some rental properties. Now it applies to all rental properties. And probably one of the big ones, no-fault evictions have been banned. So you can still go through a notice to vacate an eviction process, but you need to have a valid reason for doing that. And there is a range of valid reasons that are set out under the law, but you can't just do it because right. You're sort of ready to end the tenancy.
Now, since then, there's been some more announcements. What new renting rules have come in?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got some more. They start on the 31st of March. So we've got just over a month till the new reforms come into place. And I would say the really big one is for anybody that's ever applied for a rental property before, Warren, that process will change a bit from the 31st of March. So anybody that's renting will know there's basically a standard form renting agreement that everybody has to use. So there's a little bit of ability to add some things, but basically everybody gets the same contract with the same terms and conditions. As of 31st of March, there is going to be a standard rental application form as well. So whatever property you're applying for, it'll be the same set of questions, basically, and the same format, which I think is a really important reform. We've been concerned for a while that people get asked all sorts of information, you know, some of which is relevant to assessing whether you're the right sort of renter for the property, but some of which is going pretty far. And there are like rightly concerns about whether that information is being protected, whether it's really necessary, how much personal information you're having to give away. So we're regulating that a lot more tightly from 31 March. So there'll be a standard form. It'll make it a lot quicker and easier for people to apply. It'll probably actually be quicker and easier for people to manage the rental application process if you're a landlord or an agent as well. And you won't be allowed to be asked any information that's not part of the standard form under the law. So we're really sort of tightening the requirements around rental applications.
So a rental provider or a real estate agent or whatever couldn't turn around and say, oh, we've just got this additional form that we need you to fill in as well.
Correct.
That's great.
Exactly. So that will actually be an offence to do that. So it's quite an important reform. So it's sort of there's sort of two parts to it. You must use the prescribed form, as we call it legally, and you cannot ask for information that's not covered in that form. So I would say that's the big one. But there's a couple of others as well. We're improving the process. If you get a notice of rent increase and you're concerned that it's excessive, we've sort of had limited ability to review those in the past, so that will be really strengthened going forward. And there's also going to be a ban on those rent tech platforms charging you fees for making an application or for paying your rent. So people will probably be pretty familiar with using those kind of platforms these days. A lot of agents and landlords use them, and I think that's good for managing your business, but sometimes they've been charging these kind of nasty add-on fees even just to apply for a property, so that will be outlawed.
So if you apply for a property, you get charged a fee. And even some people paying rent were getting charged fees. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. There's sort of an extra fee for paying your rent through the platform as opposed to, you know, some theoretical alternative method to pay your rent. Mm. So that will be outlawed as well.
Great news for renters. Now, yeah. When we're filling out an application, what information can a rental provider legally ask for in this new standard form?
Yeah, so there's always been some rules around it. So even now, there's some things that you're not allowed to be asked. And there's some information on our website, but if you get asked anything that's like just a no-no, I'd really encourage you to report that to us. So things like whether you've had a dispute or had to go to VCAT with a past rental property, that you're not actually allowed to be asked those things now. But under the new laws, like I said, you'll only be allowed to be asked what is in the standard form, which I think is very important. So the sorts of things that are there is information that's legitimately needed by a rental provider or an agent to assess whether that you are who you say you are, so mm. your ID, and that you've got some capacity to pay the rent. So they'll be allowed to ask for up to two forms of ID so that they can check who you are. You'll be allowed to ask some information about your employment and how you earn your income, and also some information about your rental history, like previous properties you've rented more recently. And also they'll be allowed to ask for a couple of referees. So those are things that people would probably be familiar with having been asked in the past or currently, but that's pretty much it. So lots of all this extra, who's going to be there? Tell us about everything about everybody. Tell us about all the pets. Have you got kids? Give us 10, points of ID. We want to know everything about, your bank account. All of that stuff will be outlawed going forward.
That's fantastic. And of course, as you mentioned, where is this information being stored? That's what I would have been concerned about.
Well, that's right. So at the moment, it gets stored by, presumably the estate agent or even the landlord themselves. And while there are privacy laws in place in Australia, they don't always apply in any great detail to this situation. And that's to do with the way that the Australian privacy laws work, and that's been a really big concern of people for a while too. So one of the other really important reforms that started in November last year is much stronger protections for renters for their personal information. So actually, as of the end of last year, there's now really strict requirements on agents and rental providers to only sort of collect information that they require, to store it securely, and really importantly, to destroy it after a certain time frame. So there are time periods set out in the law following a rental application that's been successful or has been unsuccessful, and also following a rental agreement finishing. And within the time frame that's set out in the law, you actually have to destroy that information permanently. So again, we think that will be really important in just increasing the protection for people's often quite sensitive personal information.
Let's talk about rent increases, Nicole. They're always a hot topic. How often can a rental provider increase the rent under the new rules?
Yes. So we've had some good protections for a while in Victoria around, I guess, the process, right, Warren? So most agreements now, rent can only be increased once every 12 months maximum. You have to give people a notice with a sufficient amount of time. Since end of November, it's 90 days notice before a rent increase can validly happen. You have to tell people how you've calculated the rent increase. So they're all really important protections, but they don't say anything about the actual amount of the rent increase. And I know that it's been pretty tough conditions out there the last few years, so we've had a lot of contacts from the public about really big rent increases, and we know that's putting a lot of squeeze on people. So there's nothing in the law that says what a rental provider can and can't say is the rent that they want to increase it to. It's sort of part of the contract, what's the price you're going to pay for the rental property. But there are some protections around what we call excessive rent increases. So if anybody gets a notice of rent increase and you're concerned that it's excessive, that it's too high, you've got the right to ask Consumer Affairs Victoria to investigate your rent increase. And we sometimes talk about a rent investigation or a rent assessment, if people have heard that language. It's a free service. It's a legislative requirement that we have to provide to you. Mm-hmm. So from the 31st of March, basically that process will be strengthened. So we'll be allowed to take into account a lot of new things that we haven't previously sort of been allowed to look at. So the sorts of things that we've always looked at is what's the kind of comparable rent for similar properties in your local area. And I think that's probably the key thing that we've been allowed to look at. We also look at sort of the general state of the property. But from 31 of March, we'll be able to look at, you know, how much the rent is increasing by, like what's the difference? What's the CPI rate been over that period? And like how does the increase compare to the general CPI increase? You know, the general kind of inflation rate. Have there been problems at the property? Like, has the landlord not been complying with their obligations around making repairs? And also some more factors around, you know, what we look for in comparable rental properties is another example of something that we'll be looking at in the future. So I think that process will be a lot stronger. So where people are receiving sort of genuinely too high a rent increase, we'll be able to look at that and help people.
Nicole, we've got an SMS in, and if you can't answer it, we can take it on notice. But as someone who's living in, government-provided housing from the Ministry of Housing, has lived in this house for 30 years, and has got a tenant that's moved in, I assume, underneath or above or something, that's been a nightmare, has been proven to have breached the lease and the Tenancy Act, and wants to know where they can get some help.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough one. When you were saying that your listener's been in there for 30 years, there are some of the laws that sort of only kick in when you change a rental agreement. So there's still some protections that don't apply if you've been there for 30 years. But some of them do, so definitely worth checking your rights out. And, you know, a good reminder that these renting laws in most cases apply across the board to public housing, community housing and private renting. So, again, like whatever your form of renting. So I think, again, really important message. That said, it sounds to me like your listeners may be having experiences with like a neighbouring renter, you know, in the complex or the building, which can be a really tough one. You are entitled as a renter to what we call like quiet enjoyment of your property, which means you shouldn't really be unnecessarily disturbed. And your landlord, which in this case is the government, does have some obligations to ensure that that right is protected for you. You know, I appreciate that can be really hard where somebody else is kind of causing the disruption. But I mean, ultimately, the government sort of has a responsibility to deal with that situation for you. They might be working through that. It might just be, you know, a process that they have to undertake because that renter will probably have some rights as well. But if your listener hasn't already, please reach out to us because we can give you information and advice about how the law applies in that situation. So, you know, always plug the website and our phone line, which is 1300 558181. So, as I say, we're open for public housing renters to call us for those kind of queries as well.
Fantastic. All that website, consumer.vic.gov.au. We're chatting with Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, talking through the latest new rental law changes and what they mean for all of us renting here in Victoria. Nicole, you've mentioned support services briefly, but can you walk us through what each one, like who they're designed for, what they actually do?
Yes, and actually that's a good follow-on from that question from your listener. So there is help available. So I mean, I always sort of say first port of call is Consumer Affairs Victoria. We provide free information and advice on Victoria's renting laws and how they might apply to your situation to equally to renters, rental providers and agents. So please get in touch, whether that's checking out our website or calling or sending through an online query if there is something you need help with. There's also legal advice that's available through agencies like Victoria Legal Aid and Tenants Victoria for kind of curlier questions. And we fund a number of community organisations across the whole state to provide advice, support, in some cases advocacy on your behalf for renters. So again, anyone who, you know, thinks they might need that kind of advice, definitely encourage you to contact us, and we can also make those referrals to those services as well. I'm really excited. If people haven't been watching this space closely, they probably haven't seen, but the government recently announced a brand new Victorian Renter Rights Program, and that will replace, but basically expand and improve some of those services we currently fund. So we're very excited about it. It's going to introduce four new services across the state to basically provide more help to Victorian renters. So there'll be like local services in your local area across the state. There'll be a dedicated service for older renters in different like retirement villages, private renting and residential parks, and there'll also be like a helpline that will be available in addition to the consumer affairs sort of general information and advice line. So I think it's a really terrific development. We're going to have to move to implement that this year, but it should be online sort of later in the year. So that will be really great services that will provide further avenues for people who need that extra support.
What about First Nations renters?
Yes. So we know that sort of private renting is a space where a lot of our sort of Victorian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members do experience a range of issues. And, you know, even some of the recent, like the Uruk Justice Commission reports talked a bit about some of the issues that are experienced by Aboriginal people in Victoria around private housing. And it can be, you know, it's pretty distressing, some of the sort of things that they experience. That's a real priority for us. So, I mean, Consumer Affairs Victoria has some dedicated, like a dedicated phone line and web resources for First Nations renters. And we have that through what we call our Yaka Baring service. So please, please get in touch. Our staff that work on that service are trained and ready to provide, I would say, a culturally competent service for consumers and renters in First Nations communities. But also the government has flagged that they want to develop further services for First Nations renters. So we're going to be working with communities to co-design these services this year. And then we're hoping that we'll be able to announce some dedicated First Nations renter services in the coming year as well.
Fantastic. Now, Nicole, when does the Victorian Renters' Rights Program officially begin? And what can we expect from that?
Oh, yes. Well, we're going through the tender process right now, actually. So tender's still open. If there's anybody that works at a community service organisation listening and sort of interested, there's more information on the Consumer Affairs Victoria website. So expect that there'll be some announcements about the new services in the middle of the year. So I would say around June and July, and then we'll move to the coming year. So I would say by the end of the year, we'll be moved to the new services and there'll be expanded access for Victorians.
Nicole Rich, always good to chat with you. Thank you so much for keeping us all informed.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you. That's Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. That website, again, consumer.vic.gov.au, and the phone number as well, 1300 55 8181. That's 1300 55 8181.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.